You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
1 trillion gallons of rain on Harris County alone. 27 trillion gallons of rain across the region. 56,000 calls to Houston 911 in the first 15 hours of Harvey's 4 days. Normal day is 8,000 calls. In the first 15 hours, there was 56,000 calls. Over 40,000 were in shelters, 122,000 rescues and evacuations by the National Guard, Coast Guard, police, and others. Nearly 700,000 people registered with FEMA. An estimated 136,000 structures having been flooded in Harris County. 260 homes a day are having debris cleared up, and the total debris cleanup would fill a line of dump trucks from Houston, Texas to Portland, Oregon. From Houston to Portland, you could line up dump trucks, just the front of the truck to the back of the truck, all the way from here to Portland, Oregon. We have been through quite a storm. It's been a huge deal. Even storms of sheetrock being gone, of water coming in our homes, all of that. But there's also other storms going on in life. There's storms in marriages going on. There's storms in the workplace going on. There's storms of grief going on. There's storms in our families with children that are prodigals that are going on. There's all sorts of storms that are going on in our life. And what God is doing is in this moment in time, He's allowing us to learn and to see, okay, how do we go through a storm? Maybe it's a physical storm like Harvey. Maybe it's just a different kind of storm that you go through in your life. We're all going through storms, or we're going to be going through a storm. There are different ways. How do we get through this? I want to show you today 4 building block points for us to be able to go through, for us to be able to understand, for us to be able to journey through. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 77. If you got your Bible, Siena, Cypress, downtown Espanol, Loop Campus, everybody in your Bible, if you got one there with you. If not, we'll put it up on the screen. We're going to look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77 was a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that was texted to me on like the first day of Harvey. A friend from Dallas shot me a text and said, Psalm 77. And I've read it before because I've read the Bible, but I didn't know, you know, what was Psalm 77 all about. And I just have in my Bible next to it now at the top, help during Hurricane Harvey, August 2017. And as you see this, you're probably going to write, somebody already told me they wrote, when they heard this message earlier today, they said, I wrote just Harvey on the top of this, because this is going to take us through basically our journey here. This is a guy, this is not a Psalm of David, this is a song of a guy named Asaph, and what he is a prophet, a private prophet he's called, in 1 Chronicles chapter 25 of David. So David says, this is my private prophet, this is a guy I want to hear some words from. He's also been commissioned to be a praise giver to the Lord. So David said, look, I just want you to keep praising the Lord. That was 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. So this guy is going to be a praise type of guy in the midst of Psalms. But we're going to see him going through some deep, deep, dark things. So I want you to grab your note-taking deal. It's take your own notes today. No fill in the blanks. I got you today. You're just going to have to keep writing. So we're going to go through these 4 points. So you can start scribbling away, but you're going to see these a little bit further. The first one that we're going to have in our 4 steps is pain and questions. That's where we're first going to be. We're going to spend more time in that than the other points, so when I'm going through this, don't be like, he's still on point one, he's still on point one. It's okay, we're going to move through 2 through 4 a little bit faster than point one, but pain and questions is going to be the first thing. The next is going to be remember and surrender, remember and surrender, that we're remembering all that God has done and we're surrendering to who God is. Number 3, God is present and at work, God is present and at work. And number 4 is God leads us and uses us. We're going to go through each one of these, so if you don't get them all written down now, that's okay. We'll have more time in a bit. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to start here, and this is basically a ladder, if you will, of where we need to go. We need to all be on this journey. We're all going to have, at certain times of our life, pain and questions. And we move from pain and questions. The next thing we move to is to remember and surrender. We want to remember and surrender. Then we want to move from remembering and surrendering to that God is present and He is at work. He's right there with us. He hasn't left us. And then the fourth one, God's going to lead us and God's going to use us. He's going to take us through this and he's actually going to use it for eternally significant things. This is the pathway. Now, here's the deal. Let's don't get stuck at just one of these. And we can have a tendency to get stuck at pain and questions and never move to remembering and surrendering and never move to he's at present and move to that he wants to use us. So this is going to give you, in about 35 minutes, I'm going to give you these things. This is going to take you maybe 30 years to really figure out, 30 months to really live out, 30 days to really live out, whatever your journey is. Now, as we journey through this, we're going to look at this all in Psalm 77. This is the course of life. Now, here's the bad news. We move up the ladder, yes, but here's what happens in life. It comes right back around, doesn't it? And we're back at the bottom. And there's another thing that we're having pain over. And there's another question that we have. And there's another journey. You know what life is? Life is basically a glorified game of chutes and ladders. You remember that game when you were a kid? Kids, you probably don't remember it. Get the app. There's probably an app for it, okay? Chutes and ladders. It was a game where you would go up the ladder and then you'd hit the chute and you'd come right back down. Chutes are going to happen in our life. We don't want them to be self-induced chutes, though. We don't want to chute ourselves, if you will. We don't want to be through bad decisions, we keep falling down. We want it to just be life, as life's journey happens, we go up, we come down. And then finally, we'll be all the way in heaven, and it'll all be done. So this is where we're going. We're going up this stair-step ladder, knowing that there's times we're going to come around, and we're going to come back. So now let's look into pain and questions. That's the first thing we're going to have. Pain and questions. How do you survive when a storm comes on your neighborhood, but somebody else's neighborhood doesn't happen? How do you survive when something happens at your house, but it doesn't happen at somebody else's house? How do you survive when you've been praying for something and it didn't happen? How do you make it through those pain and that questions, those questions that we have? Pain and questions is the first thing that we're going to get to. I'm going to read you 10 verses. Pain and questions is verses 1 through 10. If you're taking notes, write that next to pain and questions. Verses 1 through 10. I want you this week to spend time in Psalm 77. Every day you maybe need to read this psalm. I've read this psalm so many times through Hurricane Harvey. I can't tell you how many times. I don't even know. I just read it over and over and over. I knew at some point it was going to become a message, but I just kept reading it. I want you to spend time in this. If you only spend time when you're listening to me talk, it's not going to be enough. Spend time journeying through and let God show you these things as I'm giving you some navigation buoys along the way. Pain and questions is in verses 1 through 10. Watch what happens. Here we go. Remember this guy? Asaph's a prayer warrior, praise warrior. Here we go. I cry out loud to God. Out loud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up, think about him praising, all night long. I refused to be comforted, meaning I kept coming to God. I think of God and I groan. I meditate and my spirit becomes weak. For you have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and I cannot speak. I'm consumed with days of old. This is a little bit of remembering in the midst of this. I'm consumed with days of old, years long past. At night, I remember my music. I meditate in my heart and my spirit ponders. Now he gets to his questions. 7 through 9 are questions. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show his favor? Has faithful love ceased forever? Has his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. He comes through this time of pain and questions. Chapter 77, verses 1 and 2, he says, I call out loud to God. I call out loud to God, and he hears me. When you are going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you to pray out loud. To pray out loud. There's times that we pray silently, sure. There's times that we pray quietly, sure. But when you're going through a tough time, I encourage you with everything that you have to pray out loud and loud to God. Lord, help me. God, show mercy. Lord, I need you. God, how are we going to make it through? God, why are you doing this? What is going on? Father, I need you. I want to just trust you, but help me, God. Increase my faith. Be a person that calls out to God in praise and in pain. Praise and pain can go together. It seems like an oxymoron, but we can even praise the Lord. Say, Lord, praise you. You give, you take away. Lord, even in the midst of pain, I praise you with this. Lord, I don't have sheetrock 4 feet down in my house. I don't have floors anymore. We're living on the second story, God. I'm going to praise you, though, Lord, that we're still alive. And I'm going to ask you to help me through this pain. Lord, in the midst of this divorce, we're going through something that's so hard, and I don't want to be divorced. But God, in the pain, I want to give you praise that you can even touch his or her heart. God, my heart's breaking because my child is not walking with you, and it's breaking my heart. But God, I want to praise you that you've given her to me. You've given him to me. You're going to make something out of this, and we're just going to keep hanging on and keep praying. Praying out loud, saying, God, we want to go with it with you. We want to trust you. And then in verse 3, he says, I think of God and I groan. I groan. My spirit is weak. I refuse to be comforted at the end of verse 2. He is groaning. This is a very great and deep feelings that he's had through this whole thing, that he feels like God's left him in this moment. Rick Warren was in our church Monday. We gathered together about 300, maybe 500 pastors to come together. And Rick Warren came from California. He said in 38 years of ministry, he's gone through 32 natural disasters. So he came and he gathered these pastors together. And to come together, we partnered with Carrie Shook up at Woodlands Church and brought everybody together and said, let's get together. And all these pastors praying together and hearing Pastor Rick Warren teach. And he said this, and I thought it was so good. Feelings are made to be felt. Feelings are made to be felt. He said, when I think of God, I groan. I'm weak in my spirit. I ache and I hurt. I cannot even be comforted. I've been up all night long seeking God. There are times in your life, hear this, you're not going to like it. There's going to be times in your life that your pain is greater than your prayer. Not that your prayers aren't still effective, but that you can pray and pray and pray and stand up and still bawl your eyes out. It's not that every time we go to prayer that all the comfort hits us at that moment and everything's hunky-dory. There's times that you pray and you get up and you ache. Even after prayer, you're aching. Feelings are made to be felt. But here's what we think. Feelings are made to be solved. So I need to feel something, and as soon as I feel it, I need to get it away. And that causes people to drink. That causes people to be angry. That causes people to get into pornography. That causes us to be busy. That causes us to watch too much TV. It causes us to spend too much money. Why is prison punishment? Prison is punishment because it removes you from community and it removes you from busyness. So now you're forced to sit there and think about what you did. So what do we do? In prison, feelings got to be felt. They get felt, and some great redemption comes out of those that are in prison, and many can come to Christ or come back to their correct thinking. But what we do is we get feelings, and we say, I'll go shopping. I'll go do this. I'll go on the internet. I got to get on my phone. I got to get on the internet. And we just busy ourselves through the feelings, and we just keep pushing them down and pushing them down and pushing them down and pushing them down, and we never feel our feelings. I want to encourage you, in the midst of pain and questions, feel your feelings. And when you feel your feelings, this is what we should do with this. And I'm working on this even in my own life. When I feel something, I now take that feeling and I ask two questions. Why and what? I'm worried. Why am I worried? What am I really worried about? Instead of just going, I don't need to worry. I need to just need to walk in faith. I need to be okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No, why am I worried? I'm worried because I think something bad's going to happen. I'm worried because I think that person isn't going to respond well. I'm worried because I think this is going to bring conflict. I'm worried because I don't think we're going to have the money. I'm worried because I don't know if FEMA's going to show up. I'm worried because my insurance might not be enough. I'm worried. Now let me think of the why and let me just identify it and then take that why and that what to the Lord. Let me take my anger and say, why am I mad? Well, I'm mad because I haven't slept much. I'm mad because I'm hungry. I'm mad because I'm selfish. I'm mad because I didn't get my way. You see? That's different than just, I'm just going to be mad and I'm going to quit being mad or I'm going to keep being mad. Feelings were made to be felt. Feel your feelings. Feel your feelings. And then questions may come from those feelings. And you know what? It's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to ask God questions. Jesus on the cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ asked why. Now, he knew in the theology of that moment that all the sin was being placed upon him. God had turned his back in that moment so Jesus could pay for our sins at that moment. Jesus knew everything that was going on, but he was giving us an example. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a-okay to ask God questions, but I would give you warning against questioning God. Do you see the difference? Asking God questions, you may never get the answer, but you're still saying, I'm going to walk faithfully. Asking God questions is one thing. Questioning God is a dangerous place to be. I don't want to be in a place where I'm questioning God. I want to be in a place where I'm asking God questions. Lord, I don't know why. Lord, I don't know what. Lord, I don't know how. Lord, I got this feeling. Why do I have this feeling? What is this feeling? What do I need to do with it? How can I grow? Feelings are made to be felt, and now I can walk these things out. But I don't have to put God in the chair and say bright light on him and interrogate God. How could you do this? Why could you do this? Blah, 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 blah. It happens to a lot of people. It's just different when it happens to me. Pain and questions. Pain and questions will come. So what happens next? Our next step is to remember and surrender. Remember and surrender. In verse 5 and 6, he got a little bit of that where he said, I meditate and I remember my songs at night. I meditate and think about this. I consider my days of old, my years long past. At night, I remember my music. Have you ever been sick? You got food poisoning and you got sick. And at that moment, you remember how good normal feels? Can I just tell us, do you know how good normal feels? Normal is awesome when you're going through a difficult time, isn't it? We could just be normal again. And he's thinking back and he's remembering. Watch in verse 11 through 15. Watch remember and surrender. Here he goes. Verse 11. I will remember the Lord's work. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all that you have done and meditate on your actions. That's remembering. Now watch as it goes in the next verses into surrender. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. Your power, with your power, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and of Joseph. He remembers in those first three verses, and then he surrenders in the next three verses. We remember and we surrender. We've got to remember, reflect, and think back on all that God has done. God has been so faithful to you, so faithful to me. Do you really think that he's going to blow his character by not being faithful to you? You're going to be the first person in history that God has not provided for and been faithful to. You think he's going to blow your character, his character just on us? No, he's always been faithful. He's been faithful for decades, and I'm so discouraged in my own heart. When I get to a difficult week after seeing God work for decades, I realize how fickle and fragile we are as believers in Christ. I get to a difficult week, and I'm like, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Oh, this is so tough. This is so hard. And he's like, I've been faithful for decades in your life, Greg. Trust me for a week. Jesus put it like this, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour in prayer in the garden without falling asleep in the faith? Be a believer in Jesus Christ and walk out the belief of remembering and looking back at all he has done. Count your blessings one by one and see all that he has done. God has been on the move. God has provided in so many ways. And in the dark clouds come, it makes it so difficult. See, God doesn't always change the circumstances. Sometimes he changes us. We want him to change the circumstances. God usually is trying to change us. And when we can look back and see his hand in the past tense, we can trust him to change us and use us in the present tense. On the wall as you enter our counseling center, our Juliana Poor Counseling Center, it says this, every true strength is gained through a struggle. Every true strength is gained through a struggle. Remember the history of our church. You know that we've had pastors that have died of yellow fever in the 1800s? When the hurricane came in Galveston in the 1900s, the pastor had just been the pastor for like a few short days or weeks, just gotten here, and all of a sudden, everything's blown up. God has seen us through the Civil War to the wars that we've fought most recently. God's done so much in our church, and it shows us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He's faithful. He's strong. He's true. We can see that. Yeah, let's applaud God's work in our church, all campuses. God can do something. He can do something in your life. So let's remember and let's surrender. Let's remember and surrender. We all need His power. We need His wind in the sails. We need to surrender and say, God, I can't do it. You got to do it. When I'm weak, You're strong. I've heard it. Now I got to live it. No matter what the storm is in your life, it may be about sheetrock, it may be about marriage, it may be about kids, it may be about work, it may be grief, it may be joy, it may be this, it may be that. Who knows what it is, but we're all going through the chutes and ladders of life. Number three, God is present and at work. Let's do a little review first, though. Let me give you a little review so we know where we are. Pain and questions, remember and surrender, God is present and at work, God leads us and uses us. That's where we're going. We've already talked about this. We've talked about this. Now we're going to be here. God is present and at work. That's the point. God is present and at work. Now watch in verse 16. 16 through 19 is going to give us God being present and at work. Now when he talks about this, it's going to sound exactly like Harvey in Houston, okay? It's not. I don't know if you know that, but Psalms was written a little bit before, you know, a month ago. He's talking about the Red Sea and the people making it through the Red Sea. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 16 through 19 and see if it doesn't sound like home, though. The water saw you, God, and the water saw you, and it trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered, and your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water. I want you to get this last part. But your footsteps were unseen. God is present and at work. It says even the waters are trembling. Do you remember last week when we talked about with Jesus being in the boat, the storm comes up. The disciples are being obedient, but they still get swamped in the boat. They're following Jesus across the sea. And he is asleep in the boat, but they had to realize that his presence was there. He was there. And then he rises up, and he says, calm to the wind and the waves. And his presence and his work calms the wind and the waves. And they say, whoa, who is this dude? This guy is not just a normal guy. This is the Son of God. They're amazed by him. We have to realize that God is present and at work. He's in the midst of the Red Sea. He's in the midst of the Red Sea. But he is so humble that he's walking through with unseen footsteps. In the midst of the Red Sea, God is making a way. The water is forming walls, and he is leading his people through. The chariots of the Egyptians are going to be washed away, but God's people are walking through the water. Let me tell you, you're going to make it through it. 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 And as you journey, keep journeying and allowing God to lead you through. He is present with you. He is at work in the situation, and he is going to see you through the Red Sea. Now, years ago, when we were redoing the worship center here at the Loop campus, before we even had multi-site campuses, so Siena didn't exist, downtown didn't exist, Cypress didn't exist, Espanol didn't exist, I had every person read through the Red Sea rules. Every person read through the Red Sea rules. It's a book by Robert Morgan, who's a friend of our church and a friend of mine. The tagline is, the same God who led you in will lead you out. 10 God-given strategies for difficult times. He's talking about the Red Sea here, and this book was talking about the Red Sea rules. 10 strategies to make it through a difficult time. I had everybody read this as we were going through the worship center renovation years and years ago. We still got it available here at Corner Books at the Loop campus. I don't think we have them at the other campuses right now, but we've got them at the Loop campus if you want to grab one. But here's what we're doing with this. When I was reading this psalm and thinking about this, I was like, you know what? That little book, that was a good little book. What we're going to do is we've ordered. I talked to Robert, and he said, yeah, man, I'd love to help out. And so we've got 1,000 of these books. And what we're doing is we're going to send a book and a letter to every person that we've gone into their home to help clean out their home. Amen. And they're going to get a letter. Yeah, let's applaud for that. That's great. We've been in over 1,000 homes. And we got the addresses, and we just had this idea. We thought, you know what? And so we're going to send a letter from the campus pastors, if it's closer to their campus, a letter from me, as well. And so we're going to put it in there and say, hey, you allowed us to come into your home. We want to invite you into our home of Houston's First Baptist Church. Here's a book that's going to help you through. Here's the messages I've been getting over the last 4 weeks. Here's how you can get them online and such. And so we're going to send this to be able to put this in there so that folks can flip through and say, you know what? God will take me through the Red Sea. And your aspect may not be sheetrock. It may be something completely different. God's going to see you through. Helen Keller said, all the world is full of suffering, but it's also full of overcoming. Hudson Taylor, at the end of his life, in his closing months of his life, he said this, I'm so weak that I can hardly work or read my Bible. I can hardly pray. I can hardly lie, but I can. I can hardly work. I can hardly read my Bible. I can hardly pray, but I can only lie still in God's arms like a little child. That's what that's about. Lord, you take us through the Red Sea. And what it says is, in that verse, I pointed out to you in verse 19, his footsteps were unseen. His footsteps were unseen. Sometimes God's leading you through and you're like, Lord, where are you? He's like, I'm right here. And you don't know it, but I got your hand right now. You don't feel it, but I got you right now. You just feel those feelings and let me just take you through at the right pace. I'm going to walk you through this storm and I'm going to lead you through it and I'm going to be right there with you. He is present and he is at work. Now, why are God's footsteps unseen? Two reasons. Number one, God is humble. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe is humble. Jesus was humble. God is doing things that other people are getting credit for. God's doing things that are unseen. He is not a braggadocious God in a prideful way. He does things, and when we get to heaven, you know what? Who knows what it's all going to be like, but let's say it'd be like this. We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to look back on our life and be like, you mean you did that? And that was you? And that was, wow. I didn't know all that was your hand. I didn't give you praise for that. So I'm so grateful that I've got all eternity now to praise you. Because earth wasn't enough time for me to praise you. Because I didn't see all that you were doing because you were so humble. I just think about it like this. I think God is so humble that he allows us to even have any other conversation besides prayer. Think about that. The fact that God lets you and I talk to one another is the humility of God. That he is not every conversation has to go to the Creator. That's just the humility of God. And here it is, that unseen footsteps he's walking through in this moment in the Red Sea. He is present and he is at work. And his work comes through us. That's part of the ways he works, is through us rising up and making a difference. I want you to watch a video clip of something that's been going on in our downtown campus of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team stepping out to make a difference. Of our last point, in just a second, we'll get to it. God leads us and uses us. And I want you to see this leadership and this using of God using people.
The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team was birthed after 9/11. When Franklin Graham identified in the midst of the chaos of that event that there was not adequate support for emotional and spiritual care. We now have a little over 2,500 chaplains who are crisis trained and available to deploy every time there's a national or man-made disaster anywhere in the world.
Hurricane Harvey is expected to bring tree-snapping 200-kilometer-an-hour plus winds and storm surge as tall as a giraffe.
Texas is about to have a very significant disaster.
I just want to express our gratitude to First Baptist Church Houston. The hospitality of that church has been just amazing for us. They've housed us, they've taken us in and treated us like family.
Getting off the plane, I caught a ride into First Baptist. It was difficult walking into the shelter and just seeing the faces, displaced people, hurting people. It was not easy, but we just talk with people and listen to them, let them cry.
lady walks in and she looked at the shirt and saw Billy Graham, Rapid Response Team, and broke down crying. Walked over, took her by the hand, and we went off to the side, and I just put my arm around her and just talked to her, listened to her. It's called a ministry of presence.
It's being present for that individual and being able to just let them know that someone cares. We found that in disasters, the best healing for people is to be able to tell their story.
That ministry of presence, being there for this woman, just meant the difference to her. After we talked for a while, we prayed together. It was a beautiful thing. Praise God, He was right there. And that's a divine appointment. When we pray for those, God is faithful.
It's a perfect opportunity to come in and sit and initially talk with them, find out how they are, where they were when the incident happened, and just listen. And when you get the opportunity, share salvation, point them towards Christ.
It's always a situation where we see God show up and provide just the right person at just the right time.
What can I do to help? Reaching out with my next door neighbors in the backyard, in front, across the street, whatever it is, and go from there.
Take care of their immediate need. You know, they need food, they need water, they need clothing, they need shelter. If, you know, you have to help your neighbor out that way.
Their house was flooded out or their car or something, but they're in need. Offer to bring a meal, bring over some cookies or something. It just makes all the difference in the world, showing the love of Christ that way.
We can't do what we do without the partnership that we have with the church, telling people about the love of Christ, how there is life after a disaster.
This last point is God leads us and uses us. God leads us and uses us. We see this in Psalm 77, verse 20. Watch this psalm, this verse. It's a great verse. You led your people, talking about God, like a flock. Now, what does that give illustration to? A shepherd, right? You led your people like a flock, like a shepherd. How? By the hand of Moses and Aaron. God leads his people like a flock, like a shepherd. How? By other people giving leadership and service out to be able to bless other people. So those aspects of God as the chief shepherd, we know that from John chapter 10. Psalm 23, we memorized earlier on this semester. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so we see him as the chief shepherd, no doubt. But the shepherd uses us just as he used Moses and Aaron to lead through the Red Sea. He's using me and he's using you so that we get to be the people that make a difference. So this is what I say to you. Father, dads, rise up and lead your flock of the family that God's put around you. Moms, rise up and be a part of leading the flock that's around you. Students, rise up and be able to lead where God has placed you in your school. Single adults, rise up as God's using you in the workplace and in service. And let me just tell you, with our single adults in particular and our students in particular, the millennials get a really bad rap a lot of times. Let me tell you what, more clean out has been done in our church by millennials than any other generation in our church. They have done an outstanding job. We are so grateful for them to be able to do that. So rise up and let God use you in that. And what will take place is if we get to that place where God is using us, then we're making a true difference as believers in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this whole thing's about the gospel. It's about God taking you from your pain where you're hurting. There's something missing. I need something. There's a hole in my heart. So there's a shepherd, and Jesus Christ can meet my needs. He can forgive my sins, dwell in my heart, and I can trust him to take me in the ladder to heaven when I die. God can meet you in your pain, save your soul through the good news that Jesus came and died on the cross for you. And all you've got to do is put your faith and trust in him and his grace and receive that gift. Be saved to trust Jesus. For those of us that know Christ, we just got to walk the progression out. So let's look at the progression one last time. And I'll give you the verses that go along with it for the note taker folks. This is verses 1 through 10 is our pain and our questions. Verses 11 through 15 is where we end up in this place here with remember and surrender. God is present and at work is verses 16 through 19. And God leads us and uses us is verse 20. And what happens in our life is we're able to see in Psalm 77 that we can be in our life on this journey. It may take a while. I'm not trying to rush you along at all. I'm just telling you, this is the journey of Psalm 77. I've got pain. I got questions. I'm remembering God's faithful. I'm going to surrender to Him. What other choice do I have? Truthfully, God, I surrender to You. Now I realize You're present and You're actually at work in this. What I was so painful about here, You're present and You're at work in this. And so now I want You, Lord, to lead me and I want You to use me. I don't want to waste the trial. I want You to take my misery and make it my ministry. I want You, God, to take me on this because I know what's going to happen. In this journey, I'm basically going to end up back down here, so I might as well learn the progression. And as I learn the progression, then help me to come back around, not on a shoot of my own making and my own bad decisions. But Lord, just how life is, and I want You to help me to journey through in this place. Read Psalm 77 numerous times. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Read this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, several times this week, and what will happen, you'll find things in this I didn't even find. And God will begin to help you on this stair-step journey for you to be able to go to that place so that when you come back around, you can keep asking questions, keep hurting, feel the feelings, but let God do His work. Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You are at work. We trust You, Lord. We trust You. And we ask, God, that You, Lord, would take us on this journey up this ladder. Lord, for those of us that just feel like we're just on the slide coming down, let us realize there's a landing place, there's a journey place to go through, there's a plan that we can walk this out. Father, for those that have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, what other hope do we have in life besides that? So we come and we ask Jesus that they would respond to You even in this time. Come talk to somebody. Pray even in their seats and say, Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Wash me clean. Live in my heart. Put my faith and trust in You. Father, for those that need to join the church, it's a great church. May they plant their lives. Those that need to get their lives right with God, they're running from You and they will run into You, Father. And I pray that the pain will not be too great at that moment, but that they would come and respond to You. And we trust You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.